You want to feel connected, informed, included, inspired. So when important things happen, we're here. Your local radio and TV broadcasters. America's number one source for news, weather, and information on your radio, TV, computer, tablet, and smartphone. We are broadcasters. Always here for you, wherever here may be. Tell Washington local stations matter by texting radio to 52886. Furnished by NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
America's liberty is under assault, and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM, The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Well, hello and welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk, where all issues are women's issues. I'm Debbie Georgiadis, your host for the next 2 hours, along with my two leading ladies who join me in the second hour, Carrie Kellerman and Lori Medina. And you know, we in the show, we always, sorry, we're having a fun time in the studio already. We always advocate for standing up for and protecting the things that make America great. And I want to say in the show, I want to talk about current events. I want to talk about America and preserving America's greatness. But I always want to assure our listeners and to I commit myself. The show is about really digging in and understanding what made America great and how we can preserve it today. I am here to advocate for the goodness and greatness of America. I think that should be a nonpartisan issue. I think that should be, it's not an issue about sides. It's about what America is and what ideas and policies perpetuate America, preserve it, keep it great for the next generation. I always also want the show to be geared toward healing, finding solutions to America's challenges. So I want to also start out every week by thanking our sponsor. You know, funding for Ladies Can We Talk is provided by GC Works. It's a Dallas-based company performing research in advanced technology and delivering innovative approaches to the oil and gas industry. Thank you to GC Works, and any oil and gas business has got to be a great thing in the great state of Texas. So thank you, GC Works. And happy Father's Day to everyone out there, for all the fathers and grandfathers and people who step in and serve as fathers and grandfathers, to people who miss their dads, who aren't here anymore. Just happy Father's Day to everyone. You know, there are always too many stories to cover in a mere 2 hours a week. And so the biggest problem I have, as my desk at home would be evidence of, is trying to hone down the thousands of important stories in America and choose each week the ones to talk about in this show, because the show is always about advocating for Americans to speak up for America's goodness and greatness, and to pick different stories from the week that matter to America's future. We will touch on this week, somehow in the next 2 hours, the announcement by Donald Trump that he's running for president. His announcement caused quite a bit of a stir. Jeb Bush did announce also and comment on that one. Carly Fiorina continues to be brilliant and to rise. We're, of course, going to touch on the horrific attack in the Charleston church, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. We're also going to have an interview with a man who is the current president of an organization called the Fatherhood Initiative. That'll come up in just 15 minutes, 6:15. The really cool thing about this, like so many, I mean, literally thousands of organizations like this, Fatherhood Initiative exists because people in America care about their fellow Americans. They care about American society and culture. And this organization was founded because thoughtful, compassionate Americans looked around and saw the impact on families and children in America from the growing existence of single-parent homes, homes where kids don't have a dad in the home, and what it does in the American families and the schools and the ultimate impact on Americans with so many homes being fatherless. And so Fatherhood Initiative just does amazing things that you'll hear about at 6:15 from Christopher Brown. We're also going to have on later in the show State Senator Connie Burton. She's a Texas state senator, as well as State Representatives Stephanie Click, and then also State Representative Matt Rinaldi. So we're going to do a little bit of a roundup of the Texas legislative session, the 84th session, which just ended. But I want to spend the rest of the time in this first segment talking with you about the Charleston church murders. And I don't need to recount the story, I'm sure, because all of you, if you are in the slightest bit tuned into news in America, I know exactly what happened. But I want to tie back to something I talked about next week. And then, because as I say, I really want this show always to be about being honest about the issues facing America and then being intelligent and thoughtful and finding solutions to America's problems that bring healing and not just perpetuation of the problem. Last week, I talked in this show about Janet Napolitano, who is, you all know her name from Democrat history, but what she is today, she actually has a job today in California. She's the head of the entire University of California system. And she did a training over this last year, which it's reported. In fact, I think I put it on our Facebook page, Ladies Can We Talk? But I talked about last week, she did training for faculty leaders in the entire University of California system and talked with those faculty leaders about the importance of not saying things that are offensive. And she had a long list of things that are offensive and are offensive concepts. One was the idea you no longer can say America is the land of opportunity. You also can no longer say there is only one race, the human race. And part of her message on the human race and racial issues, and in fact the issue in American college campuses, is the notion that it's extremely important to identify people by race, to categorize all of America by race, as though the main factor in our identity is something over which we have no choice, that we're born in a certain race and ethnicity, national origin, and that defines, that's the highest defining characteristic of who we are. It's a very ugly, divisive, and unhelpful way to look at life. So back to Charleston. Our hearts go out to every member of that church where the murders occurred. Our hearts go out to the families who lost family members, who lost dear friends, who lost community leaders in that event, who lost loss of a feeling of trust and innocence about the world. I raise all of that because I want to say that there is actually hope for America, and part of the healing will be if we stop talking about race as if that is the highest identifier of humanity, because all that does is endlessly divide us and cause, and there's no outcome. There's no winning the battle if all of you think of America as it is a hyphenated America with one group of Americans pitted against the next group, pitted against the next group. There's no possible peaceful outcome. And even more important to talk about, because I do think racial divisiveness has been greatly exaggerated in the last few years under this current presidential administration, because it becomes the highest issue we talk about all the time. And universities are invested in encouraging young people to think this is who you are versus a much higher idea of who you are, which can only come from faith. And that's the other point I want to talk about in this effort and this grand effort we have to make as Americans to move forward, to find healing, and that is to recognize the great detriment, the great harm that's been done to America by the driving of God out of American public life, driving God out of public schools. And it's not just, you know, having to have a precise Christian particular denomination dominate. That's not the idea. But the idea is America was not founded on tribalism. It wasn't founded on Islam. It wasn't founded on atheism. It was founded on ideas found in the scriptures, the Judeo-Christian ideas, the Old and New Testament ideas that start with very simple ideas like man made in God's image. And the idea that we exist, we have an identity greater than being a physical body, a physical carbon unit. We have a spiritual identity. We are children of a great God. We have rights that come from God. It's in the Declaration of Independence. The whole concept in the Declaration of Independence was that all men are actually created equal. All. And they're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. We all have those rights. And that concept of a country founded on not the absence of God, not in denouncing God, but in an idea of a society based on freedom of religion that doesn't denounce others' religions, doesn't regulate religion, doesn't force religion on others. We've taken that idea so far that there is a separation between church and state that we have allowed the concept of a God-given identity to be driven out of the basic conversation that happens in communities and in churches. And I really, truly, deeply believe that the worst thing by far that has hurt American culture that could lead a young man to go in and kill 9 innocent people after spending an hour doing Bible study with them. It is a cultural problem. It's a cultural problem we all have to wrap our arms around, wrap our hearts around, try to say we want to lift American culture up. And I do want to share with you something. You may have seen this. I don't know, but there was a Facebook posting by a young man who actually wrote on the Facebook page of this guy who of the killer, this killer young man who is a killer. His last name is Roof. And there was a Facebook posting, and now in my incredible piles of stuff, I'm not finding it fast enough. But no, here it is. This is what a young black man posted on Dylan Roof's Facebook page. This young black man is Marcus Stanley. He says, he posted on the killer's Facebook page, "I don't look at you with the eyes of hatred or judge you by your appearance or race, but I look at you as a human being who made a horrible decision to take the lives of 9 living and breathing people. Children do not grow up with hatred in their hearts. In this world, we are born colorblind. Somewhere along the line, you were taught to hate people that are not like you, and that is truly tragic. You've accomplished nothing from this killing but planting seeds of pain that will forever remain in the hearts of the families that lost their lives and countless hearts around our country." And you know what? This idea of, I want to say a few more things about this, and then we got to go to our first break here. But the whole outpouring of support for the Charleston church, the members of that church, the family members who lost people, it's been a completely non-racial, or meaning it is an outpouring of people of every background, every race, pouring a support for the Charleston church, locking arms with those people whose hearts are broken. And there are white people and black people and Asians and Hispanics and everybody who cares, which is the vast majority of all Americans, locking arms, locking hearts around those people, trying to help and uplift them. What has not happened in Charleston has been the invasion of the race baiters in America, who spend so much time encouraging everyone to hate everyone else. And this is, I am speaking of Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and the race baiters who live to divide. And when communities say, "We don't want your divisiveness, we're better than that. We are higher than that. We love our neighbors as ourselves. Every one of us, regardless of race and ethnicity, we love our neighbors." That is what's going to bring healing in America. That's what's going to bring healing for this situation and countless other ones like it. And the last point I wanted to make, back to Dylan Roof, this young man who committed this horrific murder. 2 things happened. One was the day he went in for his preliminary, I don't know if it was preliminary hearing or some kind of sentencing hearing, or not sentencing, but preliminary hearing. And many members of the families who lost people in that murder showed up and were able to speak in the courtroom. If you haven't seen this yet, look, I'll put a link up to it in our Facebook page. These family members who are heartbroken, they've lost mothers and dads and brothers and sisters and children, and they came and spoke to this young man expressing forgiveness, urging him to find Christ. Just the most loving, loving expressions. This is America's future. This is what America is really all about. It is about loving and forgiveness. And the other thing I want to say that is a part and parcel of this cultural problem that could lead to this kind of horrific act is the problem we've had in American society of devaluing life, of not being willing to be honest enough to say that when you have, you know, whatever the number of millions of abortions we have every year, and we speak of an unborn life as though it's a thing, when we have a cavalier attitude toward our fellow Americans who are in their senior years, fellow Americans who are being treated, maybe talked about as though maybe you don't really need to be getting care. We have representatives of this administration speaking of senior citizens as perhaps not worthy of receiving care. When you have that, when you have that disdain for the value of each life, not seeing each life as precious, there are consequences to that. That thinking flows into churches and schools and neighborhoods and young people's minds, especially young people not tethered to faith, not tethered to something that gives them a stronger idea of the notion that life comes from God and life is to be protected. These are cultural things that even if you're the most, if you're not a particularly religious person, you can't ignore the reality that American culture, American society is harmed by the driving out of a more spiritual sense of life that flows from the driving of religious thought out of public life. So this is my very expansive, but I wanted to share all those ideas about America and what would happen in Charleston. Everyone who loves this country has to be on the side of healing of race relations, and healing of race relations doesn't come by expanding the hyphenated group. So we're going to zip off to a break here. I have in the next segment the Fatherhood Initiative President Christopher Brown calling in. He's a great organization, and this is Debbie Georgias and Ladies Can We Talk. We have a packed 2 hours ahead of us, so please come on right back after our break.
Listen to us live on iHeartRadio, 660 AM, The Answer. Dennis Prager believes our emphasis on politics is way off.
The preoccupation with the politics and the running for presidency a year and a half prior to elections, this is not a healthy trend.
There is more to life than politics.
To have the news cycle dominated by the presidential campaign of November 2016, it's a poorer life.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
My fellow Americans, liberty.
Liberty.
This is your Liberty Minute.
Liberty Minute.
With Debbie Georgiadis.
It is time for a Liberty Minute on the subject of individual responsibility. The rioting in Baltimore may seem like a strange background for talking about American liberty, but it isn't. And the emphasis on liberty for the individual has a vital counterpart, the demand for individual responsibility. America will be on a better path when we stop focusing on the police as a group, or on gangs, or on races, but on individual responsibility for individual behavior. An American citizen apparently suffered serious injury and then death while in police custody. There are individuals responsible for that. Freddie Gray had a lengthy rap sheet that put him in police custody many times. He's responsible for that. And each rioter is responsible for his or her own conduct. America must demand responsibility and accountability from individuals as individuals. This protects law and order, justice, and ultimately, liberty.
Hey, everybody. Mark Davis, former friends at USMD Prostate Cancer Center. You know, cancer is challenging enough without having to head all over town for a test over here, a doctor's appointment over there, maybe something else across town some other direction. At USMD Prostate Cancer Center, you're going to one place. And there's one website, 888-PROSTATE.com, one phone number, 1-888-PROSTATE, and one team of doctors, specialists, patient navigators, all committed to making sure that prostate cancer is put behind you so that you can live a long and healthy life. USMD Prostate Cancer Center, the message begins with testing. Every guy needs to get tested, started with that 40th birthday, and after that, clean test, see you next year. If there's something in there, maybe it's so teeny tiny we look at it for a while. It's active surveillance. Maybe it's cryotherapy time, robotic surgery time. They do it all at USMD Prostate Cancer Center, saving guys' lives one guy at a time. So guys, let's go. 1-888-PROSTATE or 888-PROSTATE.com. USMD Prostate Cancer Center. 1-888-PROSTATE or 888-PROSTATE.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to begin? Do you fear your job is in jeopardy, or is your business income reduction keeping you awake at night? We're in the best time in 25 years to make a fortune in real estate without using your money or credit. My name is Ron LeGrand, and I've taught 500,000 people to do just that and personally bought hundreds of houses myself. If you'll call 800-865-3959, I'll send the first 500 callers my hot new CD, Foreclosure Fortunes, and my best-selling book to help you get started absolutely free. I'll show you how to build a six-figure income part-time with no previous experience and no license, even if you're a busy professional. Call 800-865-3959, 24 hours, and get my new book and CD free. That's 800-865-3959. Take your life back and make this your best year ever. That's 800-865-3959. Call 800-865-3959 now.
Welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
Hey, Staples guy, how do I know I'm getting the best price on this laptop?
Staples will match our competitors' prices, even if you find it online.
What about this tablet?
Price match guarantee.
And the smartphone?
Yep.
What about these ink cartridges, my chances of winning the lottery, and toner?
Guaranteed. No way guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Make on budget happen. Make best prices happen. Staples. Make more happen. This week at Staples, save up to $200 on select laptops.
Offer ends 6/27/15 in-store and online while supplies last. Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store staples.com for details.
Saying I don't know is no longer acceptable. This is 660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good evening. This is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. And welcome back, Ladies Can We Talk. We are welcoming to our show this evening Christopher Brown. Hello, sir.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
On this Father's Day weekend, I was so excited when I thought of the idea of talking to someone from the National Fatherhood Initiative. And honestly, I hadn't heard of this until relatively recently. And as I've been reading your website, you've been in business for a while. So can you just start by telling our listeners what the National Fatherhood Initiative is all about?
I'd be happy to. Thank you for the opportunity. We are the National Fatherhood Initiative. We're the largest national organization in the country that's focused on the promotion of involved, responsible, and committed fatherhood. We formed in 1994, so we're a little over 20 years old, based on the fact that there were decades of research showing that really beginning in the 1960s, when we started to see a rapid increase in the number of children growing up without their dads, that this is not good for kids. So when you look at pretty much any negative outcome for children, whether you're talking about children living in poverty, you're talking about children not doing well in school, either academically or behaviorally, talking about alcohol and drug abuse, and even talking about such horrible outcomes as suicide, we see correlations with father absence. In fact, just a few years ago, a landmark study came out, a meta-analysis that had been done on studies that looked at the impact of father absence and, in fact, found a causal relationship between many of these poor outcomes that we see and father absence. So some very forward-thinking folks got together in the early 1990s and decided that there needed to be a national organization to raise awareness about the impact of father absence on children individually, on families, on communities, and on our entire nation. And so when we originally began, Debbie, for about our first 6 years, we were really focused on public advocacy, working the Hill in Washington, working with different administrations, Democratic and Republican, to really get this issue on the nation's agenda, which I'm happy to say that we were able to do, along with the help of many individuals and communities across the country who were also recognizing the impact of father absence. And now our primary focus, in addition to continuing to educate Americans about the important role that fathers have, is to equip organizations that are doing direct service work in communities, nonprofits, schools, correction systems, the military, et cetera, with the resources that they need, the programs and such that they need to help dads be as involved in the lives of their children as they possibly can be.
Well, you touched on something I wanted to be sure and ask you about. I thought just when I began looking at your website and learning about your organization that you were just probably public advocacy and messaging, but it's a really very hands-on project your organization has taken on, which is to work with people, as you were saying a moment ago, in the community, helping them in turn work to promote fatherhood, which is brilliant. And then the other thing was, I noticed you had something, it was almost, could make a person teary. You have actual work in prisons or jails, or you have this kind of work going on as a result of your work, groups working with dads who are imprisoned. Can you tell about that?
Sure, absolutely. So we have the most extensive program for incarcerated fathers in the country. It's called Inside Out Dad. It's the only evidence-based program designed specifically for fathers to help them develop their parenting and fathering skills, because we know from a lot of research, Debbie, that when fathers, and you've got to realize that 93% of all parents in prison are dads, that when they are connected with their families, have a strong bond with their families, when they're released from prison, the likelihood of recidivism goes down. So what we do is we work with departments of corrections at the state level. We also work with county and city correction systems, as well as organizations, nonprofits, and faith-based organizations such as Prison Fellowship, to use our programming to go into prisons and actually help these dads develop and maintain connections with their children so that they're less likely to go back to prison when they get out. So this program is the parenting program of choice in half of all the DOCs in the country, meaning that in all of the facilities where they house men, it is the parenting program of choice. So we train and provide this program and other complementary resources to those individuals who provide direct services. Several years ago, I did mention Prison Fellowship, a faith-based group, which you may be familiar with. They work not just in this country, but across the globe to do work with incarcerated individuals and help them re-enter society as productive citizens. And several years ago, we partnered with them to create a Christian-based version of our Inside Out Dad program, which is now the primary parenting program that Prison Fellowship volunteers and staff use when they work with fathers around parenting.
I'm just so impressed with this. I'm glad we're talking about this on Father's Day weekend, because I actually, one statistic I meant to comment to you about in the beginning was, I believe your website was saying that it's something in the range of 24 million children in America, or basically one out of every three, live in a home where the biological father is absent. That's kind of staggering.
It's staggering indeed. And a quarter of all children live without a biological step or adoptive father. So that number is staggering as well. Now, let me just put this in even more perspective for you, Debbie, and for your listeners. 24 million children is enough to populate New York City three times. I mean, that just, to me, is just mind-boggling, that you could populate New York City three times with all of the father absent children in this country. And that's really important to consider, because when we look at, let's say, an individual classroom, if you were to look at any 10 children, you were just to pick out 10 children randomly, on average, three of those children would be growing up in a father absent home. So it affects everyone. It doesn't just affect the poorest or most disadvantaged of our communities. It affects every community. I've spoken on this issue across the country in urban settings and rural settings. And when you look at the data, there are many rural communities where father absence is more prevalent than in some urban areas. So it is a problem that definitely affects us all.
Yeah, I was picturing that schoolroom you mentioned a moment ago and taking 3 out of 10 children, saying those are the ones in father absent homes. And then you think of the kids in junior high and high school, and you know how kids influence each other and they influence each other's behavior. So even parents with two parents in the home, their kids are going to school with other kids whose families may not be as structured as and so it's just a it kind of has a, I don't know if it's exactly an echo effect, but it has a ripple effect. Children being raised in homes that don't have a dad, and all the things that they tend toward, which included poverty and emotional and behavioral problems, and those kids are impacting the kids around them. I mean, it's just kind of a ripple effect in society.
You're absolutely right. And I think it's important to, of course, acknowledge the fact that just because a child grows up in a home without his or her father, that it doesn't doom that child to failure. There are many prime examples of children who grow up in that situation to be very healthy, well-functioning members of society. But we're talking about risk here. We're talking about elevated risk. And so, yes, when you have the huge numbers of children we have growing up in father absent homes, and you look at the risks that they face for poor outcomes, including poor behavior, it definitely affects everyone. So they don't just exist in a vacuum, right? They are living with everyone else and interacting with everyone else. So it's not something that we can just kind of turn a blind eye to and think that it doesn't affect us. It absolutely affects us all.
Oh, yeah, and I'm glad you made that point. I was going to make it, too. I have, you know, in my own family and among my dear friends, moms who are single moms because of loss of a husband passed on, or because just a really untenable marriage existed. And so there are plenty of single moms who do just a beautiful job raising their kids. But I still think as a cultural message, what your organization is doing is so great because it's just reaffirming the value of intact families, of a dad and a mom together raising their kids. And on Father's Day, I just love to honor that, the place of fathers in the home, role model for their kids, and just the family itself, a role model for what kids should want to grow up and recreate in their own lives.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, I think that's something we need to aspire to. It's an ideal. I mean, it's not practical to believe that, you know, every child in this country will grow up with an involved, responsible, committed father. But that doesn't mean we can't have that as an ideal. If we just accept the notion that kids are going to grow up without their fathers, without the ideal that we want to try to increase the proportion of them growing up with involved fathers. And I think we're doing, you know, children, ultimately, and our country as a whole, a disservice by not having that ideal and doing everything we can to see it come to fruition. And that's why our particular strategy of building capacity in communities is so important. I mean, you know, we're a nonprofit, and like many nonprofits, we, you know, live off of the donations of individuals and foundations and the organizations that, of course, work with us. So we have to have a strategy in place, an approach in place that maximizes the impact of our work. So rather than trying to go to every single family and help them, which is really impossible, we work through the many organizations that have that direct contact. And I just encourage, your listeners to go to our website. It's fatherhood.org, very simple to remember, very easy to remember. And you'll see on the homepage, the first pull-down menu on the left-hand side says Why Fatherhood Matters. And if you want to just get a quick rundown of why dads are so important in the lives of children, click on that link and look at all the research that we have there.
We're speaking tonight on Ladies Can We Talk with Christopher Brown, the president of the National Fatherhood Initiative. And I was actually going to ask you to please share with our listeners your website, which, again, you just said is fatherhood.org, right?
Correct.
And people can make donations, I'm sure, to your organization, right?
Absolutely. There's a link at the very top. It looks like a present. It's got a little bow on it, and it's got a dollar sign, and you just click on that, and people can donate to us. Absolutely.
Well, Christopher Brown of Fatherhood Initiative, thank you very, very much for calling in. And we're up against our break. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and Ladies Can We Talk? Come on back after our break.
Dallas, Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
The nonprofit, nonpartisan National Center for Policy Analysis has been Dallas's own national think tank for more than 31 years, providing free market solutions to public policy problems and welcoming new CEO Alan West on January 2nd. Because of the NCPA's ideas of health savings accounts, millions of families are now managing their own health care dollars. Because of the NCPA, 78 million baby boomers can retire, keep their Social Security benefits, and keep working if they want to. Because of an NCPA project, employers can now automatically enroll their employees in 401k plans for their retirement. Because of the NCPA's idea of Roth IRAs, $310 billion have been invested and will never be taxed again. The NCPA is truly a great investment. You can help support the NCPA with a donation by going to ncpa.org, where you can also find details on upcoming events or volunteer opportunities.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-500-0983. That's 1-800-500-0983. 1-800-500-0983.
Hi, I'm Tom Kidd, engineering graduate of Texas A&M and owner of Structured Foundation Repairs. Our number is 972-484-1200. Our motto is to do the right thing. In some respects, it's hard being the company that always does the right thing. But for our customers' sake, it's very important that we do. Being fully insured, as an example, costs us a lot of money, but it protects our customers. Having employees instead of day laborers is a huge responsibility, but our dedicated employees ensure that we do the best repairs we can. Managing a large office staff can be tedious, but they provide our customers a helpful voice when they need something urgent. Returning every phone call is time-consuming, but instills our customers with confidence that we will always be there when they need us. The Aggie Code of Honor states that Aggies don't lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those that do. That code was the principle our company was founded on, and it guides our daily operations. If this sounds like the kind of company you could trust to repair your foundation, call us today for a free evaluation at 972-484-1200 or click structuredfoundation.com.
This is an announcement for all people who want to take a risk-free challenge to whiten their teeth in 5 minutes. By calling now, you can whiten your teeth in 5 minutes using clinically proven power swabs. This risk-free challenge is for people whose smile has been yellowed by coffee, tea, red wine, or smoking. The Power Swabs 5-Minute Challenge is available by responding to this advertisement. If lines are busy, try again. Because the Power Swabs 5-Minute Challenge is exclusive, it's not available in drugstores. Power Swabs was formulated by Dr. Martin Ginniger and whitens teeth with a patented tooth detergent and whitening agent. It's so effective, we challenge you to try it for 5 minutes to see how white your smile could be. Get it risk-free. Dial 1-800-281-4037. That's 1-800-281-4037. Transform your smile into a wow, you look great smile. Dial 1-800-281-4037. That's 1-800-281-4037.
This is 660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk, and I always appreciate all of you tuning in every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM The Answer. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and I'm actually going to, at this point in the show, we're going to have the leading ladies jump in with me. I have tonight here Lori Medina, Carrie Kellerman. Hey, ladies.
Hey, hi, Debbie.
And we have State Representative Matt Rinaldi on the line. Hi,
yeah,
Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're great. I want to appreciate your flexibility to quickly tell our listeners, if you saw our ads and Facebook postings and all that, had scheduled to have on Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. He is unable to join us after all. He just texted a few moments ago. He is a friend of mine, a friend of the show. I'll have another time. But Matt agreed to call in earlier than planned, which I really, really appreciate. And Matt, I'm going to say one last preliminary thing, and then we want to talk about the session. If you're listening to this show from any place in the United States of America, the simple truth is America is the liberty leader for the world. Texas is the liberty leader for America. It is true, it is provable, and everything that happens in the Texas legislature is important, really, ultimately, for America. It's a bit of a petri dish. It's a testing for the conservative ideas that many people across the country want to see implemented. So what happens in Texas really matters. So we're welcoming Matt Rinaldi, who is the Texas State Representative from District 115. And this was your first session in Texas House. So congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So tell us quickly, I'm just going to ask you, if you could, just give us your highlight and low light of the session from your perspective.
Well, I mean, the highlight of the session is that we did have, compared to previous sessions, probably the most conservative session in at least the past 10 years, using prior sessions as a baseline. We passed a budget that actually shrunk the per capita real size of government in the state of Texas as measured by spending. We didn't go into the rainy day fund. We passed about $800 million for border security. We cut taxes. We had about $3.8 billion in tax cuts, property tax and franchise tax cuts, passed two important Second Amendment bills, open carry and campus carry, had a number of other victories as well, taking the Public Integrity Unit out of the Travis County DA.
Yay.
exactly. Had a very important victory in terms of the school finance lawsuits, where future lawsuits won't be heard in Travis County any longer. They'll be heard by a three-judge panel, only one of which can be from the very liberal Travis County, which ultimately will keep the judiciary from every couple of years ordering the state legislature to increase their budget. And, you know, These are things we couldn't get past previous sessions, so it was very important. I think that the very conservative Senate drove that. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was wonderful in leading the Senate in passing this conservative legislation. The lowlights are there's a lot of stuff that we didn't pass that we should have passed. A lot of it went through the Senate. Most importantly, I think, being a strong constitutional spending cap for the future so that future budgets stay within inflation plus population growth. We completely ignored legislation protecting traditional marriage that didn't pass the Senate or the House. We didn't do anything to curb illegal immigration in terms of getting rid of the magnets, the jobs magnets, the in-state tuition magnets that draw illegal immigrants to the state of Texas. The ethics reform died. This is stuff that died that shouldn't have, most of it in the House. You know, Texas, like you said, people look to us to be a leader. They look to us for hope. We're the largest, most conservative large state, and we're just not being a leader. I mean, even the Second Amendment victories, we're the 45th state to pass open carry. We're the 31st state to pass campus carry. We need to be leading rather than catching up.
Mm. You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm just watching the clock, and I'm so glad you could call at this hour. I want to go ahead and zip to our break right now, Matt, and ask you to hold on during the break because that was a great summary of the ups and downs. And then when we come back, I'll tell our listeners we're going to zip to a break, but come right back after the break. We're going to talk about some of the really kind of controversial things that happened in the legislature, and so you can hold on during the break, right, Matt?
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks so much. Okay, we'll be back very quickly and we'll get to those other interesting issues.
The answer.
My fellow Americans, liberty.
Liberty.
This is your Liberty Minute.
Liberty Minute.
With Debbie Georgiadis.
American liberty includes freedom of religion and freedom of speech. But these building blocks of America are in sharp conflict with Sharia, the Islamic law, which makes church and state one and the same, and then imposes Islamic doctrine as the only law, a law which denies freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Americans are right to want to preserve American-style liberty for all Americans, and that's the idea behind ALAC, American Law for American Courts. ALAC is especially important in protecting women who otherwise could be subject to Sharia, which treats women as second-class citizens in matters such as divorce, division of property, and child custody. ALAC is a right idea for America and for Texas. Why would anyone want to deny American women American liberty? This is Debbie Georgiadis, and this was your Liberty Minute on Sharia.
We are visiting our friend, Chef Tom Fleming at Crossroads Diner. What do you have cooking today, Tom?
Let me ask you a question. Where you been getting your fried yard bird on lately? I know what you're thinking. Yeah, it's fried chicken. Well, at the diner, we do it a little bit different. Hand-pounded, hand-breaded, fried to order, and it comes with the best smooth, warm, creamy brie cheese. And then we top it with, oh my God, I can't even believe this, a tomato caper relish that is just out of this world. So if you've been eating fried yard birds somewhere else, come by the Crossroads Diner because my yard bird's the best.
Fresh ingredients sure to please any sophisticated palate and taste at affordable diner prices in a casual environment. Crossroads Diner, come eat with us. We're off of Walnut Hill, just east of 75. Open for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Or visit us on the web at crossroads-diner.com. Homestyle goodness meets traditional diner. Great recipes, fresh ingredients, comfortable environment, and genuine hospitality are the heart and soul of Crossroads Diner. We'll be waiting for you.
The human body. It's meant to be strong and healthy, but with time we can lose that feeling. Aches, pains, we lose a step, conditions we associate with aging. We think, yeah, it's just a natural part of getting older, but you don't have to lose that healthy, vital feeling as the years pass. Hi, Mark Davis for Nuplexo Wellness Centers. The inventors of Texas Superfood, you know them, for over 15 years helping thousands of people, including me, get that healthy feeling back. I've been on the Healthy Fresh Start program now for a few months. I've lost pounds, inches, gained energy, sleeping better. I just feel healthier and more vibrant for less than $15 a day. Experience the results yourself. You know fad diets don't work. If you've done things that did not deliver, do what I've done. Mention my name, Mark Davis, when you call, and they'll give you a free one-hour consultation with a Nuplexo Wellness Coach. You'll talk health history, medications, ways in which you just want to feel better, and they'll lay out a plan for you to get that healthy feeling back. 214-420-4020. Call 214-420-4020. Make the call 214-420-4020.
In 2002, a National Sleep Foundation poll found that 63% of women experience symptoms of insomnia at least a few nights per week. In my opinion, a major reason for insomnia is the Blue Card. It's a shopping and loyalty card, and it's free. That's right, free. No charge, nada. Next, you can receive up to 5% cash back on purchases. Most cards only offer 2% at most. No wonder girls can't sleep. With the Blue Card, you can also get shopping points that you could use for online purchases. So it's cash back and shopping points. Am I keeping you awake? If you refer the Blue Card to someone, you could even earn money on their purchases. No, I'm serious. It's true. But it gets better. If you share the Blue Card with a merchant, you could earn on the purchases of everyone who uses the Blue Card at their store, too. There's no way you're going to get any sleep until you get your own free Blue Card.
To get your free Blue Card, go to BlueCardShopping.com. That's BlueCardShopping.com. BlueCardShopping.com.
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show.
Mornings 7 to 10
on 660 AM. The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. And in this first hour, I've had my leading ladies join me at this point in the show, Lori Medina and Carrie Kellerman. And we're speaking with Texas State Representative Matt Rinaldi, who just completed his first term in the Texas House representing District 115. And we just had a quick overview of the ups and downs, and it was a fabulous legislative session, as Representative Rinaldi said prior to the break. It's just a great session. We want to hone in a couple kind of interesting issues. I think Carrie's going to roll for. Are you going to go first?
Hey, Matt, let me take a moment and say I am so proud that you're there. You are one of the good guys, and I'm so glad you're fighting for our side.
Thank you.
I have a question for you. Tomorrow, the Texas scorecard, the 2015 Fiscal Responsibility Index, will be released. You've given us kind of your highs and lows. How do you think the scorecard is going to stack up, and what do you think about it?
What do I think about it? I think it's a great way to for people to know very quickly, you know, what the representatives are doing in Austin. There's thousands of votes we take, and you hear about a few of them in the media, but you don't hear about the hundreds and hundreds of votes we take on issues that grow government incrementally. And what some of these groups do is they'll take a certain number of votes, and the good ones, the reputable ones, like the Texas for Fiscal Responsibility scorecard, will show you which votes they found important and which position they wanted their reps to take, and you can see if it reflects your viewpoints as well. You know, it's just a great tool to look at. Now, the people in Austin, so the establishment, they hate scorecards, the establishment people, because they want to be able to say one thing in the campaign and do another thing when they come to Austin. Mm-hmm. What this does is it shines the light on what we're doing.
Is there any validity to the point that these scorecard people cherry pick issues and don't fairly represent people?
Well, no, I think the scorecards pick the issues that are important to them. Pro-life groups pick pro-life votes. Texas for Fiscal Responsibility picks small government, limited government votes. I mean, naturally, you know, there's an LGBT group that put out a scorecard last week that I publicized because I got an F minus. I think something too.
Well, that awesome. Is a good F minus.
I was ranked the fourth worst in the legislature by the pro-gay marriage group. So, you know, just look at the group that puts them out, and if it's a reputable group and you agree with their goals, yeah, certainly it shines light on. It's people don't like them because they like to be able to say they're conservative on the campaign trail, and then they don't want light shined on their votes. We got on Austin.
Hey, Matt, this is Lori. Hey, I just first wanted to tell you thank you so much for actually delivering on the awesome session that you promised you would in your campaign. And, you know, it's so great for people to campaign a certain way and actually legislate the same way. And we know having you down here made the Texas legislature better, and you helped make all the other Texas legislators better. So thank you so much for your leadership down there. We really appreciate it. And for me personally, I'm so excited to see where you go next, quite frankly, because I think you've got a huge, bright future. But anyway, back to my, that was my my gushing.
She went off
script. That was my gushing. I can gush, Debbie, okay?
Absolutely.
So, I don't get to gush very often with politicians, right? So So let me gush every once in a while when they deserve it. So listen, Matt, what I wanted to ask you about was the ethics reform bill. My great friend, State Senator Van Taylor, he was the awesome champion over in the Senate and led the way. And once it came to the House, it fell apart. I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about this bill. You know, the term dark money was used. That sounds incredibly sinister. It is. And I would like for you to explain to our listeners what dark money is and why this bill was so important in the original form that, that Van put together.
Well, the term dark money is a pejorative term that was coined by the liberal magazine Mother Jones in order to support a bill by Chuck Schumer in the U.S. Senate, which did exactly what the House version of the ethics bill that Representative Byron Cook pushed did. So just whenever you hear the term dark money, that was the term coined by Mother Jones to support the Democrat bill proposed by Chuck Schumer. What it actually means is citizens completely unaffiliated with a candidate engaging in political speech. And what we do by law, constitutionally, actually, since the 1950s, we've protected the identities of donors to these groups because, as we've seen with like Prop 8 in California, if you donate to a cause that some people don't like, you're punished for it. And people come after you. And what this does, it allows people to engage in issue-based speech. So what Senator Taylor's bill did, which was a fabulous bill, it was actually an ethics bill aimed at protecting citizens from their state representatives. What it did was, for example, it was a very long bill. For example, it prohibited legislators from serving as lobbyists while they were in office. Seems pretty common sense.
Yep, that sounds pretty common sense.
Prohibited legislators from engaging in lobbying for a period of 2 years after they retired from the legislature, so they didn't just jump right into lobbying. Things like that. When it came over to the House after it passed the Senate, they completely wiped Senator Taylor's bill clean and replaced it with a bill that protected legislators from the voters. And what they did was they actually took out the provisions prohibiting people from engaging in lobbying activity within 2 years after office. They took out the provision prohibiting a legislator from serving as a lobbyist when they were in office. And they replaced it with a bunch of different provisions. For example, one that prohibited citizens from filming their legislators in the Capitol building or back in their district. Mm-hmm. Another provision of the House version of the bill that they substituted would have, you know, those annoying calls you get from robo-dialers that you get from candidates and legislators. Well, legislators could still do it, but if you robo-dialed a legislator, it became a criminal penalty.
It's reasonable.
And another one actually mirrored the Chuck Schumer bill that we spoke about earlier and prohibited citizens from engaging in anonymous political speech. Unaffiliated with any candidate. So it would have attacked conservative groups like pro-life groups, like small government groups like Texas for Fiscal Responsibility, like the Texas Homeschool Coalition. It was designed to attack those groups. And, you know, the Supreme Court has held that we have a constitutional right to that speech. Yeah. And it was just an unconstitutional bill that was ill-advised. I actually proposed an amendment to the House version of the bill, which was Senator Taylor's bill exactly. And I wanted to change the House version to Senator Taylor's bill. It failed with only 33 votes in favor. Mm-hmm. And then the House passed the bad version of the bill, and Senator Taylor spoke out against it, and it died. Because of that.
So just to reiterate, just so our listeners know, Matt, so basically there was an awesome bill that Van Taylor put together, and then it came to the House. It basically flipped upside down against normal citizens and helped basically profited protected legislators. And this was not necessarily Democrats. This was Republicans that was doing this.
Right.
Yeah,
I want
our. Okay. Actually, yeah, it was Republicans. It did pass with a minority of the Republican Party, I believe, all of the Democrats or nearly all of the Democrats to pass the House version of the bill.
Is this going to show up on the scorecard?
I would think so. I honestly, the House version of the bill was probably the most offensive, the worst bill I had seen when we were down there.
We want some light on the dark money.
the dark money issue. That's a good point. We know we're actually, we have a couple minutes left in this segment. I want to just ask you about a couple quick things related to all of this. One was, I noticed, I got actually, when Dan Patrick was going to be on the show, he'd sent me a kind of a list of all the bills that passed the Senate that were conservative, and quick summary of where they ended up, you know. And so there were quite a few that ended up being passed by the Senate and in some way or other died in the House. They had, whether it just died in a committee or the calendar committee. Would you say that there were a lot of things the Senate passed that House members probably would have wanted the chance to vote on but didn't get it? Was there a procedural problem that just never let the House members get to voting on things?
I mean, there's no procedural problem. Republicans control the House with a nearly two-thirds majority. The leadership in the House appoints committee chairs. They appoint the calendars committee. They make rulings on points of order. So there's no excuse for not coming to the floor if it's a bill that's worthwhile. And some of them were the Senate ethics reform bill. There was SB 575, which was an abortion insurance ban that the Senate passed, which was slow walked for 2 weeks in committee, then placed at the end of the calendar on the last day. Mm. There's another one that prohibited automatic deduction of union dues for government workers, which was filled in State Affairs Committee. The strong constitutional spending cap that I had talked about passed the Senate and then was gutted in the House, much like the ethics reform bill was. There were some of the, for example, red light camera bill passed the Senate, didn't get through the House, was killed in committee in the House. Actually, the red light camera bill, the committee chair killed his own bill once the red light camera was tacked onto it.
Just wow.
The red light camera from being enacted.
You know, Matt, I got to jump in because we are 10 seconds away from being cut off by the station. This is we're talking with Matt Rinaldi, the wonderful representative and Texas State Republican in the Texas House. This is Debbie Georgiadis, Carrie Kelman, Lori Medina, Ladies Committee Talk. Come on back after our break. Matt, thank you so very much for calling in.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Texas is right in the heart of the Bible Belt. Christianity is strong here and really across America, but it's not the faith of ignorant, bitter clingers to guns and Bibles. It's the humble faith of intelligent, hardworking, decent people who love their state and their country and their God. And that's why millions of Americans felt insulted and disgusted when Barack Obama chose a national prayer breakfast to paint a picture of moral equivalence between today's Christians and the actions of today's violent Muslim extremists. The good thing about his comments is that they have spurred Americans to think even more deeply about the place of Christianity in America. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll tune in every Sunday at 6 p.m. to Ladies Can We Talk? We explore without apology the goodness and greatness of America based on the faith traditions that shaped it.
At Choice Hotels, we know business trips start with a choice. Stay or go. You can press send or press palms. Start a chat room or chat in an actual room. Just remember, opportunities won't come to you. You got to get out there to get things done.
Should I stay or should I go?
ChoiceHotels.com makes it fast and easy to find a range of Choice Hotels like Comfort Inn and Suites. So stay with us for business and book now at ChoiceHotels.com. You always have a choice.
GEICO RV presents Reflections from the Road.
After a few hours riding in my RV, I get in the zone. It's just me, the road, and the savings I get with GEICO RV insurance. There's no more worries.